Chapter 23. King Gannix gripped the sending rod ever tighter. Still nothing. He had to face the grim reality that there would be no help forthcoming. The army converging on his beloved home would arrive very soon now, and if the reports were to be believed, they stood little chance of repelling them. The harsh truth was, the scant force he had managed to assemble would barely slow them. All entrances to the mountain, bar one, had already been collapsed, and those unable to fight sent deep into the mining tunnels to hide. Now, 1,500 dwarves, a few hundred elves, and roughly the same number of humans, were all that stood in the Empire's path. A mere minor irritation for the tens of thousands that were coming their way. And these soldiers, they were different from Shinzan's usual troops. Their march was uncannily swift, and according to the elf scout's report, they made not a sound. No songs of victory, not even idle chatter. With the city itself less than half a mile from the entrance into the mountain, the defenders had positioned themselves right across the main road leading into Valmorsa. Once, long ago, during a time of peace, it had been a center of trade, and the road built specifically to accommodate a steady procession of goods entering through the main gates. Now, though, it served a different purpose. It was the most advantageous position from which to face their attackers, and offered the best access to the tunnels if, or rather when, they needed to retreat. Gannix looked out at the dense forest just beyond the road. Often he had come here and imagined a day when his people could venture out and be free to explore this world once again. Now, all he wanted to do was seal the mountain and shut it all out. That idea had actually been given full consideration. The problem was, there was not nearly enough food to sustain them for any extended period. Better to die a quick death at the edge of a blade than to starve. What little food they had gathered was already with those hiding in the tunnels. A hand gently touched his shoulder. He turned and smiled.
"I was wondering when you would come to watch over me. Afraid I'll topple over and die before Shinzan's men get their chance?"
"With the thoughtless way you take care of yourself, it had crossed my mind," Lady Thora responded.
Gannix pulled her close to his side.
"Don't worry. I'm not ready to lie down just yet. Let them come."
As if in reply to his words, a trumpet sounded from deep within the forest. The line of soldiers spanning the road shifted nervously. Gannix knew he should give them words of encouragement, but at that moment his dread had overcome him.
"I don't suppose there is any chance that you will join the others in the tunnels?" he asked,
though already knowing the answer. Thora drew a dwarf rod from her sleeve.
"None at all, my love."
He tried not to think about Mael and Asta, desperately afraid, and without their grandmother by their side. It would take the Imperials a long time to discover where those who were too young, too old, or too sick to fight were hidden. But this would not save them in the end. Even if they escaped detection completely, they would still run out of food eventually, and be forced to seek it in the open. Their only hope would be that aid might arrive before that became necessary. He gave Thora's hand a squeeze and drew his own rod from his belt.
"Then let us send as many of these foul invaders as we can to see their ancestors."
"One thing," she said. "If by some miracle we do manage to survive this, please tell your people to stop calling me your highness. We are not wed yet, and even if we were, I have no wish for such formality."
"If we survive this, I will see that they address you however you want," he assured her.
Another trumpet blast echoed off the mountainside, accompanied by the drumming of thousands of boots. From the ranks, a young elf ran up, a look of excitement in his eyes.
"What is it?"
asked Gannix.
"The horn you hear," he replied. "I would know that sound no matter how far away. It's a Cormafar."
When the king looked at him with confusion, he added,
"It's an elf horn, your highness."
The Cormafar sounded again. Gannix allowed a glimmer of hope to enter his heart. At the same time, a warning voice told him that he was clutching at the impossible. There was no way King Halvar could have outpaced the enemy.
"Are you sure about this?" he asked.
"Without a doubt, Your Highness. And I do not think the Empire would be carrying such a horn. They are made from a very rare wood, and only an elf herald would know how to use one."
Gannix considered this. Of course, it might be a Rakasa. They had once been elves, after all. But the marching of boots was now accompanied by the shouts and cheers of the approaching soldiers. They could not possibly be the silent ones he had heard spoken of. Thora was clearly thinking the same thing. She squeezed in close, tears ready to fall. A hush fell over the defending ranks, everyone daring to hope, but refusing to yield to celebrations until it was visibly confirmed. After only a few minutes, it was. A line of dwarves emerged from the tree line and marched onto the road. At the vanguard was King Halvar, with Kira on one side of him and King Eularion on the other. A lone elf accompanying them was holding a polished green horn of peculiar design. Raising this to his lips, he let out a clear call that to Gannix's ears was sweeter than the finest music ever composed. Pushing their way through the now wildly jubilant group of defenders, Gannix and Thora started down the road. Laughing boisterously all the way, Gannix raised an arm. After returning the greeting, Halvar brought the army to a halt when they were halfway to the mountain.
"You cannot imagine how pleased I am to see you," Gannix said.
Halvar gripped him on the shoulders with both hands, smiling broadly.
"You think I would allow you to have all the glory? If songs are to be sung of this battle, I would have my name included in at least one verse."
Barely had he finished speaking when Thora moved in and wrapped her arms around him.
"Blessings," she said. "You can have all the verses, every word if you wish."
Such was her enthusiasm, Halvar was practically engulfed.
"Just one verse will do, I think, my lady," he laughed after disengaging himself. "How did you get here ahead of the Imperials?"
Gannix asked. Even now he was finding the combined army's presence hard to believe.
"As chance would have it, we have you to thank for that," replied Halvar. "Your insistence that David focus on getting Borgen to move has paid off."
Gannix's eyes widened.
"You mean he actually—"
"Exactly. Unfortunately, we could fit only about 20,000 on board, and still move swiftly enough to get here ahead of the enemy. Our hope now is that we can keep them at bay long enough for the others to reach us."
"How far are they behind?" asked Gannix.
2 days.
"I see. It will be difficult, but we will hold."
"Then let us not delay," Halvar told him. "The Silent Ones cannot be far behind. We have already taken the liberty of planning a defense, if that is acceptable to you."
"I'm more than happy to leave it in your capable hands," Gannix told the group. "Your knowledge of such matters far exceeds my own."
After giving a sharp nod, Halvar turned and raised his arm. In unison, the army moved forward and began lining up in various positions across the road. Elf archers made their way to the rear ranks, while the healers headed back to the mouth of the mountain's entrance. Though it took only a few hours for everyone to get into position, it felt much longer, knowing that at any moment the enemy could burst forth from the forest and attack them before they were ready. At Halvar's insistence, the other two joined with the healers. Thora's scolding quickly overcame Gannix's objections. 2 days, Gannix considered. An eternity. Many would die. More than he cared to imagine. And from what Halvar had now told him of these so-called silent ones, 2 days might be too long. He shuddered to think of what foul magic had been used to transform them into such emotionless vessels of death. His thoughts then turned to Ethan Dragonvane. The awful possibility that Chinzan might have been victorious occurred to him. If so, all this was for nothing. He pushed the idea aside. No. If Chinzan had already killed Ethan, then there would be nothing preventing him from coming forth and slaughtering them all. That had to mean the battle between them was yet to be joined. He said a silent prayer for Ethan's victory. Seeing Halvar pacing back and forth just behind the last row of soldiers, Gannix walked down to join him.
They should be here by now,
Halvar was muttering through a clenched jaw.
Why would you be so impatient to fight?
Gannix asked.
Halvar cocked his head and frowned.
It's not the Empire I'm looking for. It's...
A whirlwind erupted at the base of the road, cutting him short. As the wind died away, they saw two figures standing side by side. Gannix recognized Kat at once, but was unfamiliar with the man alongside her. He assumed it could only be the mage called Liniel that Halvar had spoken of. The vibrations beneath everyone's feet from the rapid marching of heavy boots said that the pair had arrived not a moment too soon. Halvar ordered a nearby soldier to have them escorted to where the archers were positioned. Kat was saying something to Liniel. The two of them then turned toward the trees and spread their arms wide. Gannix was half expecting to see something spectacular, but nothing happened. After a few seconds, the pair simply spun back to face the mountain and ran at a quick pace up the road. As instructed, the soldier brought the duo to where the archers waited. Both Gannix and Halvar went to greet them. They were joined along the way by Eularion and Kira, then latterly by Lady Thora. Kat embraced the elf woman fondly.
Where are Asta and Mayle? She immediately asked.
Safe in the tunnels for now, she was told,
though it was a poor attempt by Lady Thora to conceal her anxiety over being separated from them. Gannix introduced himself to Liniel, and then greeted Kat with a low bow.
And to think I was resigned to die today, he said.
We still may, remarked Halvar. The Silent Ones are the fiercest of opponents.
Liniel and I have left them a little present, said Kat. It should slow them down a bit.
What kind of present? Asked Halvar.
The two mages exchanged knowing glances.
You'll see soon enough, Kat replied.
The thunder of boots was now very close indeed, but this time there would be no trumpet call, no war cries, only silent death inexorably pressing forward. Halvar excused himself and hurried to the rear line. Much as he hated standing back, if things went as they hoped, he would never get near to the fighting this time. Their battle plan was simple, and able commanders had been distributed throughout the ranks. This would allow them to make any adjustments to their formations immediately, should they be needed. At that moment, the first wave of enemy soldiers appeared from within the forest. For now, the trees made it impossible to gauge their exact numbers or their plan of attack. It didn't matter. Halvar was certain of their intent anyway. No sane army would ever attempt a wide, full frontal assault under these conditions. Even if they were forced into attacking head-on, they would first seek to create a narrow wedge in the defense lines before expanding. But this was not a sane army. These soldiers were not hampered by fear and doubt. They would ram through like some unstoppable behemoth, sapping the courage of all those who stood before them. Even now, he could feel the odd effect their presence had on people. But this time, he was prepared for it, as were his men. They would not succumb again to their evil influence. As the Silent Ones breached the trees, an ear-splitting snap caused the defenders to jump. In a flash of green light, the ground beneath the enemy opened up, allowing giant flames to spew forth. Within moments, all the trees at the perimeter were blazing, encasing dozens of soldiers in fiery magic. As the fire spread to bar the path of those following, the advance halted for a time.
A present indeed, Halvar remarked, chuckling.
Cheers arose from their ranks, but they were short-lived. The instant the flames died away, the enemy charged forward. Even many of those who had been badly burned by the fire joined in with the assault. A sizzle of arrows fell from overhead as the elf archers released their missiles. However, unlike the previous encounter, the Silent Ones were this time all bearing shields. Though some arrows found their mark, many more were deflected.
Cat and Linil found themselves fully occupied, sending fire and lightning deep into the enemy center. Yet even this did not slow their approach. The living merely ran over the dead as if they were nothing more than twigs on the ground. When the two armies clashed, the ringing of steel was deafening. For a time, it was shield-to-shield mayhem. In the beginning, the defenders held the advantage of both high ground and strength in numbers. But as a never-ending tide of more silent ones kept pouring out of the forest and pressing in, Halvar knew that this was liable to quickly change. If they were driven back any great distance, the road leveled off for several hundred yards before entering the mountain. That's when the sheer numbers of the invaders could, or more likely would, overpower them. Watching helplessly, he could only hope that his people would hold.